Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's true that God knows us, isn't it? Certainly knows all about us. He knows that we are but dust. And He knows that as our Savior and our Lord, that He will save us and deliver us because He loves us. Tonight, I want this to be a service where it's reflective and it's on purpose. It should be that way. This is a very sacred time as we gather as a church. This is not a time to take lightly. We don't enter into it in a light fashion. It's very important in our church as we gather here. And Jesus taught us of its importance, and we would be remiss if we did not participate. I want to commend you for being here tonight. Thank you for coming. And be willing to be obedient to what Christ said. If you would stand with me as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read some very familiar verses, but we'll also be going back to the Gospel of Matthew, from which these words come from, and are reiterated by Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, the Bible said, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the same night in which that the Lord Jesus, the same night which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Thank you, and you may be seated. Tonight as we gather here and we reflect on what Paul writes, of course, reiterating what Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 26 about the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, and when He was about to go to the cross and what that meant, and the implications we find in this passage. This is a very sacred moment. And I want to call your attention, if you would, to these implications for us. How does this apply to me? What is it when I take the Lord's Supper? It is not a ritualistic something that I go through. It's not a religious exercise that I'm trying to fulfill. It's none of that. It is to remind us of what Jesus did for us. There's something about mankind, I don't know what it is, that we need to be constantly reminded of certain things. I think it started when we were children. Our parents would remind us of things we need to take care of. We need to be constantly reminded because it seemed as though we were short-term in our memory. It's also true of our spiritual life. We're the same way. We're short-term with our memory. It seems as though we only live for the moment of the day or maybe the week or maybe just what has happened recently. But we fail to remember the cross. The cross is what matters. It's the cross that changed the world. We talk about the cross tonight. We're not talking about just the death of Jesus. We're talking about when God came and gave His life for all of mankind. That includes you and me. There are great implications here. And so we're going to find tonight, and we're going to just take some moments, and I don't have any notes, no slides, nothing, because I want you to be reflecting on Jesus tonight. I want you to be thinking with a heart that, God, I want to remember what you did for me. We all can maybe create these mental images, and having gone to Israel, when you see those things, it helps bring to life those mental images. But more important of all, I just want us to focus for the moments we have together tonight, just whatever we can on seeing Jesus through our eyes of faith of what he did for us. The first thing I want us to reflect on, we think of the implication of how this affected me, is looking back to the first Lord's Supper. If you go back to Matthew chapter 26 with me for just a moment, I will help you to look at that. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 26. I want us to consider the scene that's here. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's house." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. The scene is clear. The disciples were gathered. This is probably a Wednesday night. It's been suggested that Jesus had been crucified on a Friday, and that's why we kind of recognize Good Friday. And so historically, there's been sort of this idea that we would celebrate the Lord's Supper on a Thursday before the Friday of the Easter weekend. But I'm convinced, based on Scripture and what I've studied in verses, that I believe this was a Wednesday night time frame. And they were gathered in this little upper room. It's called the upper room. And there they were coming together just before Jesus was to be crucified the next day. Something about that being a very sacred moment. You can only imagine what it must have been like that evening. Jesus knew what he was going to face. And he was gathering his 12 together, and he wanted to share with them what his greatest concern was for them. But I'm going to tell you this tonight, that same concern is for all of us too. And that is, he wanted them to remember the gospel. He wanted them to focus on his death and what he did for them. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, that for God to do that for those disciples, he's doing that also for us. He wants us to remember what he did for us. Not to forget that. Not to think of, you know, here we are, I became a child of God in October 22nd, 1972. That was many years ago. But in 1972, I was a 14-year-old teenager, and I called on Jesus, and my life was changed, and as one man said, I had a jerk from heaven that I never got over. But I don't want to ever forget its importance to me. You know, God's not so much concerned about what you do in your life as much as your relationship to him. He's not looking at whether you built buildings and had streets named after you and you created all these things, you did all these things. He's concerned, number one, foremost, of your relationship with Him. He wants you to remember Him. He's the most important in your life. He's what matters the most. It's not the house that you live in, or the car that you drive to your house, or the job that you hold, or the degrees behind your name. What's important is Jesus in your life. We don't forget that. And sometimes in the hubbub and the race of life and the busyness of our world, and we live in a very fast-paced, busy, changing world where we're bombarded with text and images and pictures and all these other things, we are to take time to, wait a minute, let's step aside and say, what is it that really does matter in our life? And Jesus, surrounded by His disciples, He was going to show them how He was going to die. I'm not convinced there in that upper room they totally comprehended what it was. I don't think they saw it. They were looking at it from, in real time, we're looking at it from historical time. We know what Jesus did because the scriptures record that for us. They didn't know. They were in real time. He was saying to them, fellas, I'm going to go and I'm going to be beaten and my body's going to be mangled and suffer for the sins of all of mankind. And I'm going to shed the blood for all of mankind. I don't think they understood that at all. And when He held up that bread, symbolic of His body, and He held up that cup that talked about His death, they did not comprehend. That was the scene for them. So we think of the scene. And in that scene, He even went as so far as to announce that there would be a betrayal of one of them there. I don't know how anyone could have betrayed Christ. But someone did, and he there in that room, He told them that one of them would betray Him. But the broken body was still going to happen. He was still going to suffer. In spite of that trusted one, those who within that room, that one would betray Him, Jesus still told them that He was going to go to the cross. His broken body speaks of His suffering. The blood speaks of the way that He would die. Jesus was not strangled on the cross. He was not beaten until He died. He died of His own accord, but the Bible makes it clear that He had to shed blood. The shedding of the blood was necessary. Hebrews says it like this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The blood is necessary. Even in Hebrews, in the same chapter, few verses down. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The blood was necessary. And I remember when I had, maybe I would call it, you know, you call it maybe new believers in church, and they'll ask questions like, why are we talking so much about blood? Because that's the price that was paid for our sin. It was the blood. Folks, tonight, there is no Christianity without the blood. There's no remission without the blood. There's no forgiveness without the blood. The blood was the payment for man's sin. And so there, when Jesus was telling them that this is my body, speaking of the broken, the bread as His body, and the cup, speaking of His blood, when He told them that they were to partake of it, He wasn't saying that they were literally eating His body and drinking His blood. He was saying that they were participating in what Jesus was about to do. As we look back to the first Lord's Supper, its implications are tremendous for us today, especially tonight. I mean, we're taking time out to remember what he did. And I know that all of us could do this, perhaps maybe someone could say, you know, I could do this in the morning, I could think on the Lord, and or I could read a book that helps me to realize that, or I could open the scriptures and go through all the scriptures and tell me that. I realize that, but God says the church is to do this. This is the ordinance of the church. So it's not something that I just go over here and do with my neighbor. This is given to the church by Jesus. So we have the looking back to the first Lord's Supper. But then we have in verse 26 of Matthew, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 11 there, we have looking forward to the Lord's coming. You know what he says there in Matthew 26 about how that he would not drink again with them until they're in the kingdom. He is promising a better future. By the way, can I tell you this tonight? No matter how bad it gets around here, it's going to get a whole lot better when we go to heaven. I mean, we have all kind of crazy things going on in our world, but man, we have a better future waiting for us. He was telling them that one day, soon, he would be leaving and he would not see them until they're in eternity. And this meal was a memorial to his ministry, what he was offering to them in the gospel. By the way, every day we should be thankful for the gospel. Adam sings a song, "The Gospel Changes Everything." And I can say amen to that song, and I can also say this, not only the gospel changed everything, it is everything because of what Jesus did. There's going to be a better day when all things are going to be settled and we'll be restored back to God in fullness, and this world will be changed. It's going to be a better day. Jesus is promising a better day. It's because of the gospel. And I want to tell you this tonight, it's because of the gospel we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, that God gives us a better life because of what he did. But the reality of a suffering Savior is clear in this passage. This broken body, our participation in the Lord's Supper points to the reality that he suffered and died for us. I mean, he was our substitute. He was, if you would, he's our vicar. That means that Jesus suffered in our place so that we didn't have to. Aren't you glad that Jesus suffered for us? That's what it means. That he was willing to leave heaven, come to earth, suffer, bleed, and die for all of our sins. This is what this means. This is the reflection of it. And when we're looking forward to a coming Lord's Supper, that means one day I'm looking forward to the time we go to heaven and we can sit down and eat with the Lord. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't think it's going to be the food that's going to be as great as the company that we'll be with. You know, there have been times when I've had some really good food, but I had to eat it by myself. But I'm going to tell you, the promise of this place called heaven and what Jesus did and what the cross, how it made all the difference in the world, promises to us that place of fellowship with him. What a phenomenal thought here. Looking forward to the coming Lord's Supper. He promised that in Matthew 26. And as we reflect on this, think of the future we have with him. Reminds me of the story, I think I might have told you, but John R. Rice one day was out walking from his office. Back in those days, most people didn't have cars. John R. Rice is an old preacher many years ago, and he was walking from his office to his house. He was walking to his house. There were two guys that came up, and they pointed a gun at him and were trying to rob him. It was late at night, it was dark, and they pointed a gun at him and they tried to rob him. And the only thing he could say to these guys was, he says, "Don't threaten me with heaven." That's a lot of confidence, isn't it? You know, tonight we have that great promise of the future. But then in verse 28, we have the looking inward during the Lord's Supper. That's what I want to challenge us to do tonight. Looking inwardly. Verse 28. Notice what the Bible says, and very instructive for us. Here's what he says. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Just some thoughts about this very quickly. Number one is there should be a personal assessment of our life. The Lord's Supper should be a time when we look at our lives and look at our relationship to the Lord. How are we doing? Has there been time when maybe we've been putting God back and put Him aside so that we could live our own life, do our own thing without Him in the way of us doing what God wants, or what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do? I mean, how are we doing? We need to assess. That's the idea of examining. We reflect on what Jesus did. We're reminded of the goodness of God and His salvation. It would be wise for us to ask ourselves, how's our walk with the Lord today? Where are we with God? Are we closer to God today? Very important. Now realize that we are saved by grace, and we live by grace, and we die by grace. But a relationship with God. Assess that. How are we? What is that relationship like? Let a man examine himself. Examine ourselves. But then secondly, it talks about a personal confession. That's what examination is about. If there be anything in me, then I want to confess it to God. Or it may not be, you know, like so visible that I can see it. Sometimes there are things that I have in my life that aren't visible, but others very clearly can see. Sometimes it's pointed out to me. "Hey, you know you got a hole in your shirt there? You know you got this, you got that." I mean, when we take a personal assessment, it involves a personal confession. I want to confess whatever it is that God is speaking to my heart about. And tonight, if we're going to reflect on the Lord, if you're going to have a moment here in just when I wrap this up, where you have time to reflect and say, "Lord, I want to take a personal assessment of my life. Lord, if there's something in my life I need to confess, Lord, I want to confess it to you." And by the way, let me remind you what confession does. Confession restores our fellowship with God. Your relationship is secure in Christ. In other words, when I confess and I go to God, I want to make sure I keep the way clear, as the songwriter says. But my relationship is secure in Christ. So I would go to God and say, "God, what is it, Lord, that you're speaking to me about?" And if Paul says, examine himself, he's talking about a personal assessment, a personal confession, asking God to cleanse me and my fellowship with Him. And then thirdly is the personal dedication. Gives me time to renew my walk with God. And when I come and I participate in the Lord's Supper, it helps me to say, "Lord, if I just want to renew that commitment, Lord, to walk with you more closely than I have." Renews and rekindles that fellowship with God. So tonight, as all of us are gathered here. It's a very sacred time. The Lord tells us, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Ye do show to others the gospel. By the way, it is true that Jesus came and died. It is true that he was buried. It's also true that he emptied the tomb. But tonight, the broken body and the blood of Jesus was for you and for me. Don't forget that. And Paul says that we remember these things. Let's pray.